Al, I certainly enjoy the opportunity to be able to share some words of Torah with all of you. I guess in the spirit of Eretz Yisrael, I'm not wearing a tie or jacket. Hope that that is okay. Certainly don't mean to offend. I ended up being in Yerushalayim now at the last minute a little bit. So I am I don't even know if I have a tie anymore, but it's certainly great to be able to be here. I think even just the memories, and I referenced this, I think, last time that I had the opportunity to speak here, which was I remember Rabbi Charlap going around the first year that they entertained the possibility of having yeshivas ben asmesterim. He went around to different shiurim. He spoke about how Yocheved was born Bein HaChomos, that in the time period in between being in Mitzrayim and Eretz Yisrael and Mitzrayim, that Yocheved was born, and that it's specifically in that time that, you know, Yocheved, who becomes the mother in many ways of our nation, and that there's a lot that can be done in the in-between stages of life. I think that was Rabbi Chalap's message when he tried to push Yeshivas Bein HaSemesterim, and it's an awesome opportunity to be able to be here with all of you. I want to speak about a topic which I think is intriguing. I should also just note a lot of some videos and a lot of names of people that I feel very, very close to. I wish I'd be able to be here live with all of you, and hopefully at some point soon that'll be able to happen. Thank God borders are open a bit, and that, you know, hopefully that can become even smoother. But even this is a great source of chizuk for me, and hopefully it can be at least a nice opportunity to learn for all of you. I want to speak a little bit about a question. The question is a very basic one, and it's one that I think gets asked often. It's a question which is relevant and important in the world of machshava generally, or I think the slide is called hashkafa, so we'll just call it hashkafa. And I think it's also certainly important beyond that. When we speak a little bit about, in a practical sense, what it means to be a Talmud and what it means to be part of a Mesorah. Rav Schechter was here for Shabbos last week, this past Shabbos, and Rav Schechter spoke a whole lot about the value of Mesorah and what it means to be part of a Mesorah, what it means to be part of a tradition. And in a certain sense, I've always been struck by a phenomenon, and it's one that I want to try to explore a little bit, that I, you know, looking back whenever I do anything or have this list, at least on some level, of being around YU, I guess, physically or virtually, thinking back to some friends of mine, I apologize for those of you that have heard me make this point, that sometimes the friends of mine who were the best Talmidim are now the best Rebbeim. That those who were the best at being Mekabel are now the best at giving over. And that's not always so obvious in any real way. That one certainly could have argued that those who are the best at being Mekabel would have a hard time transitioning over to sharing and to giving and to being innovative and to sharing Chidushim. But it isn't the case. What I want to try to do a little bit, speak about that tension between, on the one hand, embracing Mesorah, on the other hand, trying to find a person's unique chelek in Torah, of trying to be able to be creative and offer a world of Chiddush in the context of Mesorah. I want to do so through a very famous question. It's a question which is, to my knowledge, is not asked explicitly by any Rishonim. Is asked certainly by a group of Achronim, from the Chavos Yarin Atshuva to the Chida, Rav Cook and Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, and a variety of others were bothered by it. But it's certainly an intriguing question, the way that they at least are able to formulate it. The question is as follows. If you look at Rabbi Eliezer, Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, one finds two very, very different formulations in terms of his own perspective whenever he comes along and shares Torah. The Gemara in Meseches Sukkah on Daf Chav Ches, the Gemara in Meseches Yuma on Daf Samech Vav, the Gemara there is pretty clear that Rabbi Eliezer says, "V'lo amarti davar so shemati mipi Rebbe mi olam." That Rabbi Eliezer, when he reflects upon what it was that he taught, so he's very clear. He said nothing at all innovative. Everything he said was what he heard from his Rebbeim. Everything he gave over was something which he was able to, on some level, have received. And in that sense, he is a person associated with being this great Baal Mesorah, this great person who was able to receive. The Gemara in Brachos and Daf Chav Zayin has a similar line about him. Rabbi Eliezer is the Talmud that got everything. And Rabbi Eliezer is the Talmud, that's all that he shared, L'chora. All he shared was the Torah that he already heard. It happens to be, though, that there's no way that that seems to really be true. People ask the question in different ways. Some Achronim ask the question, really? Rabbi Eliezer is recorded all the time in Shas. It doesn't seem like everything he's saying is always just a response, is always just quoting his Rebbeim. He seems to share innovative ideas. Seems like he does. Moreover, is a Maisa recorded in Avos Reb Nasan. This Maisa of Avos Reb Nasan happens to be, I feel very connected to, because it's a well-known comment of Chazal, but it was, I think, popularized, at least when I was in YU, I remember, Reb Chaim Waxman, who before Shavuos, as many I'm sure of you know, often gives a certain kind of pre-Shavuos shmooze in the Five Towns. And when he does, he ends with a song. He ends with a song that he writes. I believe it used to be in someone's house in the Five Towns, and I remember going less than 15 years ago or so. And this Avos Reb Nasan, he put into a niggun. Again, a little bit of literary, certainly feel comfortable adding in a couple of things that maybe were not exactly in the Medrash, but the general point for sure is there. That Elazar ben Hyrcanus, Elazar grew up and he had not learned Torah at all. The Avos Reb Nasan tells us he was 22 years old. And at that point in time, v'lo lamed Torah, he had not learned at all. He decided that he wanted to start learning. And he decided his father, Hyrcanus, was not a fan of this at all. And Hyrcanus was not a fan of it, akadekach, up to the extent that Hyrcanus, once Reb Elazar went all the way to Yerushalayim, and once he went to Yerushalayim and he started learning Torah from, Chazal tell us there, he went to Yochanan ben Zakkai in Yerushalayim. And Yochanan ben Zakkai witnessed this person who was 22 years old. Many of us know this Medrash, and he was not so knowledgeable at all. And he worked very, very hard. He noticed that Elazar ben Hyrcanus was not even eating really. He was being Moser Nefesh to such an extent, such a wild extent, exactly what he was doing. And then comes along the Medrash that records a Maisa, again, that many of us know. The Medrash tells us that Hyrcanus, his father, was so upset that some went to learn, he decided to go to Yerushalayim. And he was going to go to Yerushalayim. He was going to be Moder Hana'a. He was going to say that all of my wealth, my son Elazar will have no shaitas to. That all of that I have, Reb Elazar, you will get none of it at all. He comes down to Yerushalayim. Yochanan ben Zakkai gets wind of his plan. He knows what is going to happen. And he sets it up that when Hyrcanus comes, he has him move up, sit in a particular kind of an area. Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai is about to darshan Torah, Chazal tell us, in front of Gedolei Yisrael. He's going to darshan. It's a very intense line. V'chol v'dorish b'Yerushalayim, v'chol Gedolei Yisrael yoshvin lefana. There's this unbelievable scene taking place. And Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai calls upon, out of nowhere, Elazar. He says, Elazar b'ni, can you please get up and can you please share Torah? He doesn't know Hyrcanus there, not there. Reb Elazar is embarrassed a little bit. He's hesitant to get up and to share Torah because he doesn't know that much at all. And he's very nervous. He's very nervous. He gets up and what does he do? He gets up and he says, "Pasach v'darish b'dvarim shelo shematim ozen me'olam." He gets up, Reb Elazar ben Hyrcanus, and he darshins something which no ear had ever heard before. Kol davar v'davar shetzim mipiv. Everything he said, Amar Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai al raglav v'nashko al rosho. Everyone would come over. Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai would get up and he would give him a kiss. He would give him that sense of chizuk until Hyrcanus gets up. He's so moved by his son. And he says to his son, all of my money, everything I have is going to go to you. There's a lot to unpackage there in that comment of Avos Reb Nasan. But the part which is most intriguing and the part which is most fascinating for our discussion is that when he got up to speak, he darshaned things that no one had ever heard before. The same Reb Elazar that says, everything I heard from my Rebbeim, that same Reb Elazar gets up and he is darshaning things that nobody has ever said before. And wonder, many of the Achronim, what exactly is going on with Reb Elazar? What is he really, what's actually happening here? Is he original? He's so original that he's saying things that nobody ever heard? Or alternatively, maybe not the case. Maybe really he's not so original. Maybe he just says whatever his Rebbeim say. This question is asked by a lot of Achronim, the Aruch Lener and Sukkah, the Sfas Emes and Yuma. The Achronim are very, very perturbed by this. I want to try to highlight three or four different answers to elaborate upon them and to use them as a model to understand a bit about this relationship between Mesorah and Chiddush, this relationship between being Mekabel while trying to find our own Chelek in Torah, a Chelek in Torah in which we have the capacity, in which we have the ability to share that which has never been heard, to be able to find a place in a unique place in a way which can be intriguing. So the Chavos Yair has a tshuva. Chavos Yair's tshuva is in Siman Tzadi Dalet. This is a tshuva that the Chida references in at least a couple places in his writings. The Chavos Yair has the following chiluk. He says, and I'll frame it in the following way. I remember when I was, I don't know, supposed to be 20 years ago, hearing shiurim at times from Rav Avraham Avidan. Rav Avidan was Rosh Hashiva in Shalvim. He was an old Talmud of Rav Eliashiv. He used to say often that, you know, Rav Eliashiv at the time was already like very, very, very busy, hard to get into. Rav Avidan used to always say that, you know, he started asking Rav Eliashiv questions when Rav Eliashiv was comparatively young, and he was in from a very young age, and he maintained that kind of connection. Rav Avidan passed away this past year, and I remember thinking about some of the things that he said. I remember in giving Shir Klali, he would often yell very, very loud. He was very, very passionate. And sometimes in the course of that, he would, in almost strong terminology, thinking about channeling, you know, almost elements of the Ravid, you know, in some of his formulations, maybe not as extreme, but he would take on, he would challenge a variety of achronim. And in doing so, he would often have a particular comment. And it's a comment which, it's a comment to Chavos Yair, I think would resonate with the Chavos Yair. Because the Chavos Yair writes that there is a difference he maintains between what Rebbe Elazar says when he says, I never say anything I didn't hear from my Rebbeim. What he means in that particular case is when it came to bottom line halacha, that when it came to what to do in practice, he was very nervous saying anything that was remotely original. Everything he would say was what he was mekabel. Everything he would say, he heard from his Rebbeim, and he would not ever veer off from what they were doing in the world of halacha. When, however, says the Chavos Yair, when it wasn't a question of halacha, when instead of being a question of halacha, it was a discussion that was one of just talking and learning a little bit. He's giving a shiur, he's talking it out with friends. So then he wouldn't hold back. Then he wasn't able to mevatel himself. He wanted to be able to find his own voice, says the Chavos Yair, when he was Dan im Rabosav, Oim Chaverav, the halacha, so then he would definitely speak up. He had no problem at all talking up. He had no problem at all voicing what he thought. Rabbi Dan used to often say that same idea. In the world of learning, it's no holds bar. In the world of learning, I need to, in whatever way I can, be able to find my own voice, to be able to learn, to question, to suggest answers, to be able to find that place. But knowing in the end of the day that in the world of halacha, so there, he used to say, I remember once in Machlokas, he was talking about, I think between, if I remember correctly, it was between Reb Kivi Eger and the Ketzos. And he was yelling, I don't understand the Ketzos. I don't understand Reb Kivi Eger. You know, Torah Hiva Limon Ani Tzarech. Okay, for sure, if it was in the world of halacha, you know, who am I, the Ketzos and Kivi Eger? But in the world of Lamdas, right now, to be done with my Talmidim, to be able to talk out different things, there has to be that comfort. There has to be that comfort in being open and finding one's own voice. I think about that a lot in terms of a comment the Stipler makes in Karyana de Igrisa. When the Stipler writes as far as giving Eitza for people in their own learning, the Stipler writes, it's so important to get in the habit of writing down Chidushim, even if they seem small and even if they seem minor, that the opportunity to be able to write, to be able to share original thoughts, even at a younger age, so I'm not postulating based on them, but I can still write them down. I can still write them down. If I remember correctly, I'm sorry, I didn't have a chance to look it up. Rav Shlomo Warman, Zichrono Livracha, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of Hank for many years and the author of the Sfarim She'eris Yosef, beautiful, beautiful Sfarim. So I think he wrote that maybe when he was in Tor Vidas, when he was younger, so he was a Talmud of Blazer Silver, who pushed him that every Friday he'd go and he'd just get in the habit of writing down things, of writing down Divrei Torah, of writing down Chidushei Torah. And that sometimes that avoda becomes very, very important. That's the mahalach of the Chavos Yair. The Chidah happens to reject it. The Chidah rejects it because of a very simple Gemara. Some of us may know that Rebbe Elazar appears to have a wildly original statement. It is so original that he ends up taking on the other Chachamim in a very famous Gemara in Meseches Bav Metzia, in the Gemara there about Tanur Shel Achnai, the Gemara about Lo B'Shamayim, where the question and the topic is not for us at all for now, but where Rebbe Elazar is comfortable arguing. If you remember the Gemara there in Bav Metzia, Daf Nites or so, that Rebbe Elazar is comfortable arguing, and he's taking on the Chachamim, and he says, you know, if this happens to the walls, and then the Baskel comes out, backing him up, and eventually Rebbe Elazar is not willing to back down. And the Chavos Yair himself points out, it seems in that Gemara that Rebbe Elazar is being original. If all he's doing is quoting his Rebbeim, so I would have thought that, you know, the halacha should be with him. I would have thought he should be accepted. It seems like Rebbe Elazar there is sticking to his guns, even though there isn't that misorah. He's not saying kach kibalti mirabosai. He seems to be sharing a degree of analysis. He seems to be developing a particular kind of an idea. So once that's the case, as a Chavos Yair, I'm not sure this is really the chiluk. I'm not sure this is really what's going on. I'm not sure this is actually what is driving and what is behind all that's taking place here. Okay, one mahalach. It's a mahalach which limits us in terms of the world of halacha and psak. It certainly expands almost the chiyuv in the world of Torah to find one's own voice, to be able to ask questions and get answers. I don't know if there's a piece that I love in Igros HaGrid that Rav Aaron Soloveitchik wrote. I don't know how many of us are familiar with this. It's Rav Aaron Soloveitchik wrote to the Rav when he was 13 years old. He wrote a Shtickle Torah about Moshe Rabbeinu and killing B'Shem HaMeforash in Parsha Shmos and why he killed B'Shem HaMeforash. Again, he's 13 and it's an amazing insight. And the Rav and Moshe Soloveitchik, it's like a family kind of a conversation all about this Torah from Aaron Soloveitchik when he was 13. And one of the things that the Rav writes about Rav Aaron Soloveitchik at the time, he says, you know, Arala, when I left, last time I saw you, you were able to ask questions, but you did not yet know how to be able to answer. And I see that since I've left, not only do you know how to ask a question, you can even give a mahalach. And sometimes in learning, that's a particular avodah. Not doesn't mean we're passing like it. And the Rav and Moshe Soloveitchik, Dafka argued with that vort, much as I think the Brisker Rav may have bought elements of it. But Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, you know, argues with it. Sorry, the Rav of Moshe. But that idea of, even if I don't buy the answer, and even if Lemaisa, we're not paskening, that idea of finding a voice, of finding a chelek, becomes massively, massively important. The second mahalach, I want to get very briefly, because the last two are the most intriguing. The second mahalach is a mahalach of the Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes, in Meseches Yuma there, on the Gemara, Sfas Emes, as we know, wrote, aside from Anchumish, so he wrote on Seder Moed, he wrote on Seder Kachim, the Sfas Emes, a lot of discussion amongst even Ger Chassidim, the relationship between the Sfas Emes and Shas, Sfas Emes al Torah, how much do we assume that the Chassidus influenced or didn't influence what he wrote on Shas? Stam, a question for a different time. The Sfas Emes understands that maybe there's a chiluk between while a person's rebellion are alive and after a person's rebellion happened to pass away. That as long as a person's rebellion were alive, so then Midin says the Sfas Emes, Midin Kavod Harav, he would be quiet. Meaning Kavod HaRav, he wouldn't share his own ideas. It sounds in Sfas Emes that Rebbe Lazar, that act, that avoda of while his Rebbe was alive, being quiet, was an act of tzimtzum. He wanted to share Torah. He had what to give over, but he held back midin Kavod HaRav. It's like as Chazal tells the Gemara Sanhedrin, but not being mor halacha b'fnei rabo. So he took that to a very, very extreme sense. He's not going to do anything that if his rebellion were not, if his rebellion were not going to be there, so as long as they were alive, he was mevatel himself entirely. However, what ends up happening, so Sfas Emes is once his rebellion passed away, so in many ways, all that Torah that he had been building and all that Torah that he had been holding back, so now he can't anymore because there's no one else to be able to answer that question. There's no one else, and he has to call the shots as he sees them. Like if Moshe writes in the Hakdama to Igros Moshe, every generation, so the person in that door has to paskin based on the way that they learned that sugya. You read this Hadoros, ein hachinami, but I have to be able to paskin that sugya the way that I understand, the way that I happen to learn that particular sugya. It's what I have to do. I have no other option. And sometimes it's one of like the scariest things sometimes. If you're part of a world, if you're part of an olam, and it's very prominent posek happens to pass away, so that feeling of being like Yisomim, that feeling of being a little bit orphaned, of who's going to be able to answer it, because it requires a shift sometimes of that person's Talmidim. It requires a shift of that person's Talmidim to now emerge, to paskin certain kinds of shilas that beforehand they were not going to. That's a shift which is very, very real. And in certain worlds, so that can really be experienced. When there's a real giant and that giant passes away, it can shatter a reality, or that giant stops being able to answer questions. And suddenly people that were used to being Talmidim, they no longer have a choice. They have to be those people. And for the Sfas Emes, that's the difference. The problem for the Sfas Emes is that it really doesn't work at all with the Avos Reb Nasan. Because the Avos Reb Nasan, is when he is darshaning dvarim that no ear heard, that no ear had ever heard in front of his Rebbe. It's in front of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. That at that situation, when he was most mechudash, was bifnei rabo. Not only bechaye rabo, it was bifnei rabo. And that in and of itself is I think, again, I didn't even ask this question, but to me, I don't know how that fits as well with the Avos Reb Nasan, which leads us to a third mahalach, which is an absolutely fascinating one. It's a mahalach of Rav Kook in a really interesting piece. Rav Kook in Ma'amarei Ra'aya is writing about the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer, the Sakat Shavu Rebbe, was one of the absolute giants, not only obviously as the son-in-law of the Kutzker and the father of the Shemi Shmuel, but as one of the great poskim and great lamdanim in Polish Hasidus. The Avnei Nezer was an absolute giant. We have his tshuvas, we have Egle Tal Masech HaShabbos. He was an absolute, absolute giant. Shechter even said on Shabbos that he was talking about the Rav, how the Rav was influenced a lot in his shiur and by the Avnei Nezer, that he often quotes, that he's often, a lot of what he says, it comes from Avnei Nezer. So the Avnei Nezer, he quotes sometimes. I've checked the thought that there's, if you know enough Avnei Nezer, some of the Rav's own Mahalchim were originally based on, he suspects, even some comments of the Avnei Nezer, a really, really important Lamdan and Posek. And in the course of that conversation, of that discussion of the Avnei Nezer, Rav Kook comes along and he asks this question. Gemara in Sukkah, Gemara in Yuma, Rabbi Lazar never said anything that wasn't coming from his Rebbeim. But what about Avos Reb Nasan? What about Avos Reb Nasan? So here Rav Kook suggests an amazing insight. I don't know if anyone's ever had this. I'm sure that I did, and I'll try to explain that in a second. Rebbeim speaks sometimes, and Rebbeim give shiurim. And when Rebbeim give shiurim, so not everyone hears the exact same thing. Not everyone hears or processes things the same way. You could be in a shiur. So if a person says, as an example, you know, I have one cup in my hand. So that may be the kind of formulation which everybody can hear. And there's no debate about that at all. No debate about it at all. It's there. But sometimes, I don't know if anyone's been in a room like this. You have a Rebbe that's a little bit cynical sometimes, or he's very quick with his jokes. And as he's giving shiur, he makes the kind of comment which only a couple people pick up on, that he was really sort of messing around with that guy, or he was really making a particular joke. It can happen sometimes when a person is speaking that they sort of have that ability that as they're talking a little bit, they sort of go in a particular direction where they are, only a couple people pick up on it. That's true, I think, for sure, with jokes when you're sitting in a shiur. It's also true with content in sitting in a shiur. I don't know if you've ever had a person chazer shiur with somebody else. So sometimes if one person didn't understand at all, it's like, oh my gosh, I think we were not sitting in the same, sitting in the same shiur. So I remember hearing with Blachman quote a particular gadol once, that he once walked into his, walked into the Beis Medrash and opened up the Talmidim in his shiur's notes from his shiur, and commenting, oh my God, what they think I said, it's mamish lashon hara. Lashon hara that they think I said that. That's nothing compared, there's an idea of like missing an interpretation, not fully getting it, not exactly clear what's going on. That can all happen to a certain extent. But there's something else also, which is when you have people who are really good and they're really listening and a person is speaking with deep and significant content, so it's understandable that some people may pick up on some things and other people may pick up on other things. There are particular speakers that the nature of how quick they move, how deep their insights are, that people understand them at different levels. And what people take out of it, that's always going to be a little bit different. It's going to be something which is not really the same. In that sense, I remember once when I was learning the second parak of Gittin, and a particular Mahalach came up. We're learning a sugya. I think of the sugya of Zman Begidin, the need to write the Zman in a get, a sugya there on Daf Yitzayim. And we saw that apparently Salvechik had a Mahalach about it. And the person I was learning with was very, very much into the Rav, like almost like in a very intense way. He was very much into the Rav. And he had, by his makom, at the time at least, So there was no, whether there is now or not, I'm not sure, but there was no like authoritative, like here's what the Rav really says in Maseches Gittin. And he had with him notes from three or four Talmidim of the Rav that he was going through. I don't think we did this as part of our Chavrusa. I think this was like almost like his, you know, his side project of going through to discover, you know, what was going on with the Rav. And I remember, you know, him pointing out, it was almost like, it's unbelievable because this person has notes. He thinks the Rav says that Zman isn't only Mishum, a particular Chashash, but it becomes part of the get. It becomes part of a chelik of the get. And everyone agrees to that as far as what the Rav says. But the way it's formulated was so different within the following three people. And he finally got up to one of them and he said, this is the one that I think really got it. This is the one that is what everybody else says. This is the one that really has the insight in the real way. And he's, I remember he was a little bit of a strong personality saying, and this other guy, I'm not even sure that he really knew, you know, followed Shir at all. You know, once you see what the real shot was, I'm not even sure the first guy knew what was going on. You know, that phenomenon can happen a little bit. Says Rav Kook, I think that is what happened with Rabbi Lazar in the most intriguing way. From his perspective, everything he said was Torah. Everything he said were ideas that he heard and that he was mekabel from his rebbeim. He was just an infinitely better listener than anybody else. He heard everything. He went, whenever his rebbe was speaking, he went to listen to it. Then he listened with a degree of nuance. He was able to hear and to listen so closely what was being said that the nuances and the intricacies that all of the different points that happened to be made, he totally, totally got. He was able to really hear everything. So suddenly he gets up and he's giving the Chazara Shir. And he says the Chazara Shir. People say, whoa, Rabbi Lazar, wow, are you innovative. Look at the Chidushim that you're saying. And he's like, no, it's not my Chidushim. That's what we heard from Yochanan ben Zakkai. Now, that's what we heard, what we were Mekabel. But no one else was able to pick up on it because he was such a Kli who had that ability to listen. He was such a person who had that koach to be able to hear so well all that was going on. Suggests Rav Kook, it's the ultimate praise of Rabbi Lazar. He was the best Talmud. So he said things that nobody else ever heard because he heard everything. And he heard it so closely and he heard it and he heard it so well. Nimsa, says Rav Kook, Shebe'emes lo amar davar shloshama mi pi rabo. He didn't say a thing his rebbeim didn't say. V'toraso ha'isa Torah shlein mashreish lo beis av. She fought so hard over it, he was able to get it. It's like they say, I think, that when that, I hope what I'm saying is true right now. If it's not, I don't know. It's an interesting made up aside. So you'll, you know, even that's worth something. That when Reb Chaim would give shir, they say that when Reb Chaim would give shir, he was often a little bit hard to, it was hard to always follow how everything connected. So they say that the Birka Shmuel, Rav Baruch Ber, would sit there, and Rav Baruch Ber would keep on going over and over and over the formulations of Reb Chaim until he was able to really get what he thought was a real pshat in Reb Chaim. It's like a Rashba. You're reading a Rashba, and there are machlokes in what the Rashba really holds, and there's one person who just, he fights more. He's sitting over that Rashba. He's able to break down, and suddenly everything makes sense. Rav Baruch Ber would sit there, you know, all on his own. So the Briska Rav was the son of Reb Chaim. So he would just go into Reb Chaim's office and say, Tati, I didn't get what's going on in Shir today. Can you please explain it, you know, just to say it out a little bit more so I'll be able to get all those additional things. It's different Mahalchim in how they were able to and how they were able to hear it and what they were able to see. But it's the model when you're in a Shir like that and your Rebbe is so great and every small thing he says is so significant that some can hear things that others are unable to say, that some can hear things that others are not really with. Happens to be, much as I like this idea, I think it gives tremendous chizak as far as what it means to be a mekabel and to be part of a mesorah. It happens to be, I think, also very, very challenging to suggest within the original Avos Reb Nasan. Because, as I believe some point out, in the Avos Reb Nasan, it says he said things that no ear had ever heard before. Lichora, that includes his Rebbe. It's in front of his Rebbe. It sounds like the simple pshat of that Avos Reb Nasan is he was mamash saying things that nobody ever heard. So what's the pshat if he's saying things that nobody ever heard? It's what it sounds to be. Even his Rebbe never heard it before. You would have thought at least his Rebbe knew what the pshat was. At least his Rebbe knew what he meant. So there are ways of explaining that, but there is a fourth mahalach, which I think is very, very intriguing. It's a mahalach which you have in a couple different svarim, elements of you have by Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, Rav Rosenzweig in the article about Masora articulated it also, and we'll give a little bit of background with a very similar phenomenon with a Gemara that I think almost all of us are familiar with. That's a Gemara in Maseches Menachos. The Gemara Menachos tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was blessed and is able to go down to hear the shir of Rabbi Akiva. And when Moshe Rabbeinu goes down to hear the shir of Rabbi Akiva, he is sitting there and he is listening to Torah. And Rabbi Akiva is darshaning things that Moshe Rabbeinu can't even follow, you know, what it is. The Talmidim said to Rabbi Akiva, where's that from? Like, where's that Torah from? He says, Talach L'Moshe Misinai, I got it from Moshe Rabbeinu. And the same question exists there. There seems to be from Rabbi Akiva an attribution. He is attributing his Torah to Moshe. But Moshe doesn't know it. Moshe never heard it. It's like a phenomenon where Rabbi Lazar on the one hand is able to say, nothing I said. When Rabbi Lazar speaks about himself, it's in that place, speaking about himself, where he says, nothing I'm saying isn't from my rebellion. But in front of his Rebbe, even his Rebbe thinks it's a chiddush. His Rebbe thinks it's innovative. His Rebbe thinks it's a new idea. So what's going on? How exactly does it work out? What's behind all of this? So the suggestion is a very simple one. And it's the most famous one, I believe. The Chavos Ya'ir is one. It is the most famous one. And it's the following idea, which I think is so simple and so elegant, if it's there. And I'll be mocked in it, you know, maybe with a ha'ara. The Piazetzner writes, as some of us may know, in the Sefer Tzav Zeras, Piazetzner writes that a person can find their own chelek in Torah. Ad kedekach suggests the Piazetzner that if I write a Sefer, and you know me and my style well enough, that the same way you could open up a Ramban and Chumash and be able to identify it's a Ramban, even if the Mar Makom never said written by the Ramban, you could identify something as being written from Tosfos, even if I never knew for sure. It doesn't say Tovos on top, but I see the Im Tomars and the Vi Shlomars. I see the way they ask questions, the way they give answers. I could make an intelligent guess. I think this really comes from. My hunch is that this is actually part of the writings of Tosfos. It's a Piazetzner. Every person can have that also. Every person can have that also. There's no reason why a person can't cultivate, can't get the ability to be able to have that the same way. Yet, at the same time, there's something else which can take place. So I can have my own Torah, and my own Torah is a Torah which nobody else is able to have the same way. There's a phenomenon which many of us may have encountered. I remember encountering it as recently as last week, was learning a sugya about vidoy in karbanos. We know that there's vidoy when a person performs the mitzvah of tshuva. There's vidoy of vidoy maisros. A couple times, the Shemitah cycle, you say that you separate your tshumas and maitos properly. There's a vidui that Kohen Gadol does on Yom Kippur. There's a vidui, by the way, when a person brings a karban. The sugya in Yuma on Daf Lamed Vav. Sugya in Yuma on Daf Lamed Vav. And a person brings a karban, so they recite vidui at least by a chatas and asham, in ola, maybe by a shlamim, maybe not. All discussions there. Came across randomly in Achron. And in looking at that Achron, I remember thinking, this is so brisker. It's so brisker. I wonder when this is written. I wonder where it's from. There's something about it. It's so brisk. And then four lines in, he writes, "Umein ze shamati mimoy v'rabi maran hagriz halevi." This is a Torah. This is just like a Torah I heard from the brisker Rav. That sometimes you can identify a person's individuality, not just them, but the world that they come from. You can learn a Sefer and you can learn an Achron. You can say, oh, he must be a Talmud of that person. He must be that he's from that base medrash. Think about it a little bit. If you hear even, I remember in YU, Rabbi Shnal was referencing before. I remember sitting in some of the chaburas in the Kol Elyon, listening to the other guys who were giving chaburas. So it could be that if you're listening, most of the time, if you were listening to some of those guys, you could guess, if you knew nothing, who they are likely talmidim of. If I was listening to a chabur at the time from, I don't know, Rabbi Eli Belazan, I can make a good guess that he's a Talmud of Rav Shechter, based on the way that he was talking, the makoros he was bringing, a certain kind of organization, that I was able to identify, you know, that comes from him. And if you're sitting there and it's a Talmud of a Rosenzweig, you could pretty much guess with a reasonable degree of certainty, wow, he sounds like he's a Talmud, sounds like that's where he comes from. Understands Rosenzweig, he suggests in the sugya, Chaim Shmulevitz in a very similar way, that's what's going on with Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar said things that were original, but everything that he said original as it was part of a particular Mesorah. That everything he said, all the Torah that he shared, was in line with, was infused with a certain orientation and methodology, a particular style of how to learn. It doesn't mean his Rebbeim said it, but it means it's a kind of Torah which, if you read, you would say, he must be a Talmud of that guy. In that sense, what's often, I think, very powerful about the phenomenon as a whole is that a person can receive Torah, but a person who's mekabel, a particular kind of methodology, it allows him to say original things within a certain context, but allows him to say original Torah. And sometimes people can say, whoa, you must be a Talmud of that guy. You must be a Talmud of him because of the way and the Torah that you share. I don't mean the phenomenon of sometimes a guy, you listen to enough of a Rebbe that you start speaking like that Rebbe. I don't mean where you like pick up some of like the mannerisms and some of like the quirks of a particular Rebbe. I'm not referring to that at all, much as that is at times possible. I'm not even referring to the Mishnah Adios of Chayav Adam Lomar B'Lashon Rabo, where Hill and Shammai, Rambam Pirshei Mishnah elaborates on, would mispronounce certain words because Hillel's Rebbe, Shmaya Vavtalio, and were Gerim and weren't capable of pronouncing words correctly. They would also mispronounce words, you know, as a result of it. I'm not referring to that. I'm referring to the methodology itself. The methodology itself is a very chashuv Talmid Chacham that I once heard say, and I think I connect to this a lot. He said, you know, Nashim, Nezikin, and Moed, I heard Shiurim from my Rebbeim. He said, Zra'im, I also heard Shiurim on Chala and Shvius from one of my Rebbeim, and I heard Zvachim also. The fact that I got Zvachim, I got an orientation to how to learn Kachim, it opened up the whole world of Kachim. I knew how to approach it. So when I was learning other Mesaitis, Menachos, Bechoros, I felt I had a methodology of how to do it. And when I learned Bikurim and Orla and Trumos and Maestros, I felt like I knew how to do it. He said, but Taros, I have a Mesorah, more or less, I have a methodology, a Mahalach, and how to learn. But he said, it happens to be that I'm lacking a lot because I never got that methodology in a certain sense. I never got that capacity to be able to do so. It's a methodology in a Mahalach. And within that Mahalach, I can be Mechadish. Within that Mahalach, I can say original ideas. I can say original thoughts. And in that sense, it's in that place where we understand the Yerushalmi and Peah, that everything was the Talmud was going to be Mechadish, was set to Moshe Rabbeinu. What that means is that the Mahalach was built in from Moshe Rabbeinu. The approach was able to be built in. I want to try to just wrap up and Chazer, take two or three more minutes of your time to be able to organize things a little bit and to be able just to maybe add or end with a particular approach or thought, which I think is worthwhile. Many of us, so Rebbe Lazar, there's a shaila at the Achronim asked. He is Mechadesh, he's not Mechadesh. He says original ideas, he doesn't say original ideas. Which is it? What does he really do? Which is it? Chavos Yair says in Psak, he's Mevatel, talking and learning, he's original. Sfas Emes says his Rebbe's alive, Mishum Kavod HaRav, he holds back. Rebbe passed away, he's more original. Rav Kook, he wasn't original at all. He just knew how to listen so closely. He knew the principles. He knew the yesodos. Everything just came out. So he was saying things no one else listened as well. The last idea of Chaim Shmulevitz, Rosenzweig, and a variety of others is that a person who learns and gets a particular Mesorah, it doesn't stifle you. It gives you the ability to have higher quality insights, higher quality ideas. If I hear enough ideas, so now I can be as mechudash. I can be so original, so mechudash as a result of all of that. A person has that capacity. The idea, it happens to be, of the YU Bina Semesterim program, which Bishnal, you know, introduced. I'll be honest and say I never participated in it. I was blessed to have parents who very much wanted me to be able to be in Eretz Yisrael, and I was, you know, Zocha to be able to go. There's something unbelievable about the ability to dedicate time as part of our break to be able to learn, to be able to be mekabel a little bit, to be able to hear, be able to get some exposure to many of our rebbeim. That there's such an opportunity, looking at the schedule someone sent me, mostly because I thought I was speaking yesterday, and only found out 10 minutes before that I was actually speaking today, so that was a good find. But it was total negligence on my end. But when I, first time it never happened to me. But now I'm going to be nervous forever that that's what's going on. But there is a, happens to be second time it ever happened to me, but that's a story for a different time. But there is a, there's something, I think, when we talk about being able to hear from our Rebbeim in the context of this Yibane Semesterim, we're dealing with Rebbeim who are not just people that are able to teach us Torah, but also able to give us a particular mahalach, a mahalach in the world of Hashkafa, a mahalach in the world of Machshava, a mahalach in the world of Lamdas, a mahalach in the world of Psak. And many of our Rebbeim can so clearly identify that as coming from their Rebbeim. That sometimes the people who are Mekabel the most are also Mechadesh the most. Because the ones who are Mekabel a lot, they've mastered the methodology. They've mastered the style. And when new things come up, they can intuit what they think their Rebbeim would say. And often they'll even be Mechaving to what their Rebbeim are going to say. And in Tzigas they haven't heard from their Rebbeim, they're going to have original ideas. Their original ideas within a particular kind of spirit, in a particular kind of style. So Be'ez Hashem, hopefully this is a great opportunity. It is a real schus to be able to see so many of you, to be able to see even names of people I feel so incredibly close to. It's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity, one I take very, very seriously. And I thank you so much for the opportunity. And Be'ez Hashem, we should be zocha to continue to embrace what it means to be part of a beautiful Mesorah and to be able to, within that concept of Mesorah, develop our own chelek by mastering a methodology, finding the place to have our own Torahs and our own insights, to be able to embrace those, to be able to be rejoiced with our own chelek, and hopefully as a result of finding our own chelek, so we will bring a degree of Torah into this world, and as the Gemara comment based on the Pesukim in Sefer Tehillim in the first parak, it can shift from being Torah Hashem to Torahso. It's a Torah which is the Ribbono Shel Olam's Torah, but a Torah which can become our Torah through our own individual relationship to it and our own kinds of creative and innovative brand of Torah. So really, thank you so much. An absolute pleasure. Thank you, Rabbi Schnau, for the opportunity, to Effie Klein for all of his work and setting everything up. Really just a great schus, and hopefully it can be a wonderful night for the rest of your vacation break for all of you.